Okay. Once again, just because this was on the desk here, reminder to everyone, we've got several different classes, and I know I'm getting out of the picture screen, but that's all right. Now I'm back. Ta-da! sorry. We've got several different classes going on that I think all serve the purpose of the Lord. So if you haven't checked any of them out or all of them, just kind of let the Lord lead you in that. And I believe it'll truly be a blessing. All right. I wanted to do music this morning because I hadn't done music in a long time. And in Spanish it's called, I had the ganas to do it. I'm not sure how that translates in English. But so I was real thankful when I got to do it today. Some of the songs that I did, well, actually all the songs that I did were just a blessing unto me. There was actually one song that I didn't do, but that's all right. But they really blessed me, and I'm not going to be talking about the songs. But they blessed me just in this sense right here in what I'll be sharing this morning. And I think during the time when we were doing the music, I mentioned one of the songs, and I said that I liked it because to me, I don't know what anybody else, but to me, and I think that's the key, to me, it's declaring what is and what is. And I've got two verses that I'd basically like to share this morning. And I've actually, in my own studies, in my own sharing, and in the classes that I'm doing, I'm actually in Genesis chapter 15, and I'm actually in verse 9, basically the covenant between the pieces. This is Abram, the Lord, and the risen Christ here. But I'm going to go to a couple earlier verses, and the verse is verse 5 and verse 7. And I'll just go ahead and read from verse 1 just so we can get a little bit of the context. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And then here's verse 5. And he and the Lord brought Abram forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Basically, the increase of the seed. So shall the increase be, so shall the resurrection be, so shall the fullness be. Because when the Lord brought him forth abroad and basically lifted up his eyes, he revealed to him the resurrection, the risen Christ that fills heaven. That is, listen, the only light there is. And I love this, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. And Abram's believing was based on seeing. And I know that a lot of times people, or it's been shared in different places, when I remember when I was first born again, you just need to believe before you see it. And well, that is kind of true, okay? There is believing in the form of hope. Hope is not yet seeing. Okay? You have an expectation to see, so there's hope. So there is believing in the form of hope. But this believing right here is in the form of faith. Because faith is the substance of that which was hoped for. It's the evidence of that which cannot be seen by the natural eye. So here, Abram's believing because he has seen the Lord. He has seen the risen Christ. And he said unto him, verse 7, and the Lord said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And in these two verses, verse 7 and verse 5, God is just declaring purpose from the very get-go. The purpose for which He Himself appeared unto Abram, and the purpose for which He continues to appear unto Abram. And I know it in the order of the verses themselves, of the sentences themselves, verse 5 comes before, where it says, and he brought him forth abroad. But really, when the Lord declares verse 7, he is declaring reality and purpose. And from the very beginning, and we find this in Acts chapter 7, from the very beginning, Abram is basically going on his own merry way in Ur of the Chaldees until the God of glory appears. At that moment, everything changes for Abram. Everything is changed. But that, it's like it's new birth. That's what it is. It's new birth. But new birth is not the goal. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. The giving of the land, for Abram to inherit was the goal. Okay. Now, please understand. I've been sharing this for a long time, so I've got to define some things here. First off, and first and foremost, the land is our very own soul. God created the soul for one purpose, as an inheritance for His Son, as an inheritance for the firstborn. That is why our souls were created of God in the very first place. Right? We're talking the other morning. The soul is God's by virtue of Creator. I mean, He created the soul, whether that soul comes to purpose or not. Every single soul, every single person who is born in the flesh belongs to God if they have a soul, and every single person has a soul. They are His by virtue of God Himself being the Creator. Right? But to bring that soul to purpose, for the Son to receive His inheritance, for the firstborn, Christ Himself, to receive His inheritance, that soul must be born again. Okay? So the soul is born again. At the moment of new birth, now Christ is present in the soul. Whether the heart knows it or not, whether we are aware of the change that came at new birth or not, Christ is completely present. We will not get any more of what we have already received at the moment of new birth, because at the moment of new birth, we have received all that God has ever desired to give, all that God has ever purposed to give in the person of His Son. And we do not receive a Jesus of Nazareth. We receive a risen Christ. Even as in verse 5, the Lord is saying, look now towards heaven. And, hey, put a number on the increase if you can, Abram. Can you measure the increase of this one? So shall the seed be. So the seed is. But it's the risen one. All right? And because in verse 7, the Lord promised an inheritance to Abram, we also have an inheritance. First and foremost, our soul is the inheritance of Christ. It is His. It is His by right of being Creator, and it is His for us who are born again. It is His because of redemption. He redeemed it unto Himself. reading the soul for himself. All right? Now, because he also was talking to Abram as a person, from the very beginning, God declares purpose. And Stephen is declaring the whole purpose in Acts chapter 7, starting with I'll just go there real quick. In Acts chapter 7, I'll just go ahead and start with verse 1. He was declaring purpose, and then finally the Jews get Stephen, bring him before the high priest, and so then, verse 1, then said the high priest, are these things so? Stephen says, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. Everybody who's present, all the Jews who are present, hearken. Listen to this. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abram when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, that's Haran, and said unto him, here's God declaring purpose. He appears with purpose, and he declares that purpose. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. And the land that God shows to Abram, the land that God desires to show to every single person who is born again, is the land that is filled with his very own increase, with the increase of God. You can define that verse right there with verse 7. You can define it, or actually I'll just say, Paul confessed it. He confessed it in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He said it this way, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, moment of new birth, called me by his grace, there is the call unto purpose. There is the call, just like get thee out and come unto. And then Paul defines it, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. And then he goes on to say, so that I might preach him. Because before, I, Saul of Tarsus, was preaching something less. All right, so that's the automatic results. We declare Christ. Basically, we will declare whatever we are beholding. We will declare whatever we see. But the whole thing was, separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, to show me the land that is filled with his glory, to show me himself in the land. And this is the whole purpose for which the soul was created of God. In another place, in Acts chapter 26, verse 16, I like James Murdoch's translation of the Syriac Peshitta. It's the most perfect translation I've ever found, even before I found it. In fact, after I studied out that verse in 2007 and 2008, looking at each term, looking at all these lexicons and Bible dictionaries, I came up with a real archaic way of saying the exact same thing that was said the best way it could possibly be said, and this is it. This is at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Jesus appears and he says, well, I'll just go ahead and read it. In Acts chapter 26, verse 16. And he said to me, now this is the Apostle Paul recounting the event, recounting what happened to King Agrippa. And he said to me, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me and of thy seeing me hereafter. Thy seeing me and of thy seeing me from this moment onward. From this moment onward. It wasn't a one-time thing. And that's why I like the way I mentioned it earlier concerning that one song. It's because to me it's declaring what is and what is. And I'll just say this. I used to have this thought that there were things drawing the attention of my heart away from the Lord. That's what I thought. You know, oh no, this is drawing my heart away from the Lord, you know, because I knew to whatever degree, my heart must be turned unto the Lord. Well, that's true. The heart must be turned unto the Lord. But then I have this thought that, okay, this is just taking too much time right here, so it's drawing my heart away from the Lord. I used to have that thought. But see, that was my thought. That's totally incorrect. The thing is, it's always the same for a person from before they are born again, even after they are born again. See, we think, or I'll just use myself, I thought the concept I had was that my heart was turned to the Lord, and then there's just other stuff kind of tugging me to turn to it. And now I give my back to the Lord. And now I'm completely focused, or the attention of my heart is now upon something else. And that's not the case. See, before a person is born again, their heart is completely on something else and never upon the Lord. Never. Now the Holy Spirit, His one job is to continually be preparing the ground of the heart, the ground of the soul, to draw the full attention of the heart that it may turn unto the Lord. When the heart does turn unto the Lord, it is by work of the Spirit. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him." At that moment, which is a miracle, at that moment when there is the first true repentance of a heart, that moment is the moment of new birth. At that moment, Christ appears in the soul. The Holy Spirit does not change what He's doing. He does not change. He continues to prepare the ground of the heart, to prepare the ground of the soul, so that the heart may turn, listen, so the heart may turn now in understanding, from the understanding of man that governs, from the knowledge of man that governs, unto the understanding of God. And the understanding of God is Christ, His Son, who is present. So even after we're born again, though there has been a true repentance in our heart, though our heart has turned unto the Lord, and Christ has appeared in our soul, then we do this again. We automatically do it. And so the Holy Spirit is still preparing the ground of the heart, preparing the ground of the soul. But now, this time, so that the heart may come in understanding where the Spirit of God has brought the soul in reality at the moment of new birth. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and verse 7, starting with verse 7. And the Lord said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Verse 5. And he and the Lord brought Abram forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. At the moment of new birth, our soul is brought unto salvation, because salvation has appeared in our soul. That happens at the moment of new birth. From that moment onward, the Holy Spirit, as I had mentioned, is still preparing the ground of the heart, the ground of the soul, so that the heart may turn and behold that which God has brought the soul unto in reality. Now, I haven't searched this out, so you may want to search it out, but one of the songs, actually a couple of songs that we were doing, one of the songs had the title of, I Was Glad When They Said to Me, Come to the House of the Lord. All right? To me, that's like meaning more and more than it did before. First off, it's like you have the whole land, right? You have the whole land of Canaan. And yet, what is the seat of government in the land of Canaan? It's Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of the king. Jerusalem is the seat of government. Whatever happens in Jerusalem governs the whole entire land of Canaan. All right, and what governs Jerusalem is the temple. Because remember, even just looking with the type with David, he was always consulting the Lord. He was always doing good, doing bad. He was always consulting the Lord. And the Lord was the one who was governing. Can you kind of see that? I don't know if you can see that or not. The seat of government for the land is Jerusalem. And what ought to govern Jerusalem is the temple, is basically the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself. Now, I like this because if you read in the verses, and as I said, I didn't search this out, but the majority of the time it says, up to Jerusalem. Up to Jerusalem. Up. Even when the Lord, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Lord says, you saw what I did to the Egyptians and how I brought you on eagle's wings unto myself, implying up. That's reality. Up, above, resurrection. All Israel, and I do know this, all Israel was required of the Lord to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feasts. Three major feasts, and then they're broken down. Well, they're not broken down. Then there's other feasts within those three major feasts. But they were all required to come. Listen, they were all required to come up to Jerusalem. They were already living in the land. They already had salvation, if you will. They were all, and I'll just use it with King Solomon, they were all in a land of peace, ruled and reigned by righteousness, peace, righteousness, wisdom, and peace governing the land. And yet they were still required to come. Now, as I said, I did not check this out, so you can, go check it out, and I may check it out if I have some time. But I don't think there's anywhere in the scripture where the Lord says, okay, now you can go away. Now you can leave. He did require them to come. I don't believe it says anything like now leave. You see what I mean? It was to always come. It was always to come. It was always to come. One of the ways I said this was reality and reality governing. And I have a better way of saying it. Reality and reality revealed. Christ and Christ revealed. Genesis chapter 15, verse 7. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. I brought thee out unto. And we all know in Genesis, I think it's like Genesis chapter 12, when Abram, after he takes his whole entire journey and he finally comes to Canaan, what Abram finds in Canaan is the Lord Himself, because it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. The Lord brought Abram out so that he himself could appear where he is. So he himself could show Abram, make known to Abram, reveal to Abram who is present in the land. Because you look at this verse right here, verse 7, to give thee this land to inherit it. I think it's also in Acts further on that Stephen says, Abraham did not own any piece of property of Canaan. Nothing to call his own. He didn't have a piece of plot of land, But right here it says, I brought thee out of the land, out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And yet, let me just go there real quick. Yeah, I'll just keep on reading. And he said, I'm back in Acts chapter 7. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy land and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, but we know because we just read Genesis 15 that it was the Lord who actually brought him out, and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, the Lord removed him, there it is, the Lord did this, the Lord brought him, removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell, because they were at the time in the land of Canaan. Verse 5, and he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. The Lord comes in, the Lord Jesus Christ comes into his inheritance of our soul at the moment of new birth, because our soul is his inheritance. At that moment, our soul has been brought unto purpose, unto the purpose for which God created it. And that is Christ appearing in the soul. The Lord begins to govern the soul as he appears in the soul. And I'll use this example because I've used it before with Joshua, who is a type of Christ. Before the Lord tells this to Joshua, he has already told the children of Israel this: I have given you this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land is yours. I've given it unto you. It is yours. The Lord speaking unto his son, speaking unto his firstborn. All right. Now, when the children of Israel are getting close to come into the land, now the Lord is a bit more specific with Joshua. He says this: every place where the sole of your foot treads, I have given it unto you. Well, what does that mean? He already gave them the entire land. What it basically means is this: every place where Joshua appears, there reality is made known. There the true heir is made known. There the heir governs. There reality is made known. Because the Lord had already promised the land. And we see a perfect picture of this with Jericho. Jericho, that is a city in the land, it already belongs to the firstborn. It already belongs to Israel. But when Joshua appears on the scene, then that reality is made known, whose land it is. Who is the true heir? Who is the true king? Who is the rightful heir? Who is the rightful king? Who is the rightful one to be present? All right? Every place where Joshua appeared, the rule and reign of God is made known. Reality is made known. The truth is made known. Oh, this wasn't mine. This was his. You know, everywhere he appears. And it goes on that way. And we look at the word, and I'll just say this, we look at the word rule, reign, governing, and we have completely the wrong concept of it. We do. We completely have a wrong concept because it's man's concept. It's man's understanding. But see, think of it this way, and I'll use this example because it's been shared just recently. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. John chapter 11. There's a situation, and pretty much Lazarus died. And death is governing. Death is ruling. Death is reigning. And here comes Jesus. And with them, hey, it's all loss. You know, I think it was Mary who said, you know, had you been here earlier, you could have saved him. But hey, he's long gone. He's 4 days dead. He stinks by now. That's just the way it is, you know, still sad and everything. And yet death was governing, ruling, and reigning there. And here comes the Lord. And he appears there in the midst. And by his very own appearing, he declares reality. Lazarus, come forth. And now life is ruling and reigning in the midst where death was ruling and reigning before. Now, if any one of us would actually have been there with Martha and Mary and would have said, well, what do you think about the rule and the reign of the Lord here? Is it hard? Is it tough? Would you rather not have the Lord ruling and reigning? Wouldn't it be better to be the way it was? They would have looked at us like we had three heads and out of our minds. You know, no, what are you talking about? Of course I want my brother alive. Of course I want my brother living. And that's what I mean when I say, where the Lord appears, the rule of life, the reign of life, the government of life is made known. We just have all these wrong concepts. You know, there is salvation that comes at the moment of new birth. Then there is the knowledge of the salvation that is present when God reveals His Son in the soul. And that is an awesome thing. I mean, listen, the whole land was at peace and rest when Solomon was upon the throne, when the whole land was aware of the King who rules and reigns. The rest of the land was at peace. It was at rest. While they were being ruled, reigned, and governed by Solomon. Life reigned. Light reigned. Government, the government of the Son. Wisdom, righteousness, understanding reigned. Do you see what I mean? It's always, and this is our inheritance. When the Lord appears, this is our inheritance. His very own appearing in our soul is our inheritance. Because it is life ruling and reigning in whatever measure in our soul at that moment. Though the life is fully there, complete in the Son, our ignorance keeps us from knowing the One who's present. And it's not ignorance like, well, I just don't know anything. No, no. It's not that I don't know anything. I know a lot of things, just like Abram did. He was from Ur of the Chaldees, which at that time was an advanced civilization. He knew a lot. He knew a lot. Well, I know a lot. The thing I don't know is the One who's in the midst, the One whom only God Himself can make known. That's what I don't know. Why? Once again, because before I'm born again, my heart is directed somewhere else. But by the work of the Spirit, my heart turns unto the Lord. Now Christ appears in my heart. Excuse me, Christ appears in my soul. Now everything that God has ever desired appears in my soul. But now what happens? My heart just kind of drifts. It does what it does naturally. And there I go, giving my back to the Lord. And the Lord is present the whole entire time. I just don't know who's present. And I don't know who's present because I don't see who's present. And I don't see who's present because my heart is not turned to behold Him. My heart is not turned to behold Him because the ground of my heart maybe is not yet prepared to bear this appearing. Because, once again with Joshua, when He appears, all our concepts do not remain. I mean, to me, all the inhabitants of the land are just this. My concepts, my thoughts, my ideas of what is present, of what I believe my life to be, of what I believe my relationship with God is. Right? Those are just my concepts, my understanding. The understanding of man, the knowledge of man, that which governs man. But see, Joshua, as the Lord even told the children of Israel, hey, do not make covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Don't get into agreement. Okay, well, yeah, your concept's kind of good. You know, it's kind of like the truth. It's good enough. I said, no covenant whatsoever. So when Joshua appears, my concepts, my idols, that's all it is, an idol. And an idol is my concept of the image of God and my concept of God's relationship with me, how I relate to my image. That's all an idol is. That's why it's a false image. The image of God, that God's true image is His Son. Now, once again with Joshua, when Joshua appears, my false images are destroyed, utterly destroyed. And once again, that is a good thing. Remember Mary, Martha, Lazarus? When Lazarus started walking around being governed by life, being governed by righteousness, being governed by wisdom, knowledge, understanding, being governed by the one who's present, Christ Himself, I don't think anyone there, especially Mary and Martha, said, "Nah, what'd you do, Jesus? You messed it all up. Should have left Him like it was. It was better off." No, no, no. They were rejoicing. They were so thankful unto the Lord when life began to reign. And God does not come to take away. Ooh, let me catch this real quick. Is the camcorder plugged in? If it's plugged in, unplug it. No, it's not plugged in. I see it from here. Sorry. I think. Anyway. It's all right. It's fine. Sort of lost track. God does not come to take anything away from us. No. He is not a taker. He is a giver. He comes to give. He continually comes to give. That's all He does. He gave. For God so loved the world in this manner that He gave. Not that He took, no, that He gave. The whole world governed by death. And here God gives life, so that life may reign in its place. So that righteousness may reign, so that peace may reign. And so, and that's what happens with us. When at last our heart turns again unto the Lord, and Christ appears, when righteousness is being made known, then unrighteousness is no longer being made known. When peace is being made known, then chaos is no longer being made known. You see it? And on and on and on in every single term that we find in the Scriptures. And right here, let me go back to it. With Genesis chapter 15, I see that again and again and again and again. I'm the Lord that brought thee out to give you an inheritance. And then the Lord continually from that moment onward, and the Lord brought him forth abroad. And it's the exact same word, yatsah, that is found in verse 5 and verse 7, which basically means bringing out from. Yatsah. Yatsah. And right here in verse 5, the majority of the commentators will agree that Abram came out of the natural realm. That the Lord brought Abram out of the natural realm unto the heavenlies, unto the spiritual realm, unto the above realm. And for the born again believer, the Lord is continually, by His Spirit, directing our heart unto Him who is. Unto Him who is present. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul in whom Christ was revealed. Therefore, he's declaring reality. Since then, you are risen with Christ, that your soul is found in union with Christ, that your soul is found in salvation, because salvation is found in your soul, set the affection of your heart on that which is above, no longer on that which is below. And that's all it was, a continual bringing forth abroad with Abram from the moment the Lord appeared, bringing reality, and every moment afterwards when Abram finally comes to purpose, comes to the land, and the Lord appears. And once again, with the Lord appearing, Abram, the full attention of Abram's heart has been directed unto the Lord. And now the Lord governs at that moment. The Lord governs there in his soul. And see, right here in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, this has been a... Abram has already been walking in purpose for a good while. At least since chapter 12. You know? It was a joke. When Abram finally comes to the land, when his heart finally comes to the purpose for which God created his soul, when Abram finally comes, listen, to serve purpose, and that's the difference. When the God of glory first appeared unto Abram, Abram was brought to purpose because purpose appeared in his soul. He was brought to the purpose. Ah, but now is he serving that purpose in his generation? The Lord still working, still preparing the ground of his heart, still preparing the ground of his soul so that it may turn again. And now when he turns the second, the Lord appears. Genesis chapter 12. Now he begins to serve purpose. The Lord appearing. But it's not like the Lord appearing because he wasn't there. No, he was already there. From the very moment of new birth, the Lord appears and now he is present in the soul. Now the Lord appears and there is the light of the knowledge of the one who is present. Now there is the knowledge of the one who is present, the knowledge of the glory that fills the land, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord who is present, the knowledge of the Son of God who is present in the soul. And the Lord continually does this again and again and again, because that wasn't the first appearing of the Lord unto Abram. It continues on. And if you continue looking at just the whole little journey of Abram, oh, the Lord appears again, and he appears again. He also appears as Melchizedek. That's an appearing of the Lord. So all these, Abram has a history of walking in purpose. Abram has a history of walking in the appearing of the Lord. Abram at this time has a history of serving the purpose of the Lord in his generation, the purpose for which God created his soul. Okay? And yet, verse 5, the Lord still has to continue doing the exact same thing. And he brought him forth abroad and says, look now. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, you could mark it on the side, make a note. Colossians chapter 3, verses like 1 through 4. Seeing then you are risen. Seeing then, I'll just paraphrase the whole thing. Seeing then that the Lord hath brought you forth unto reality, because reality hath appeared in your soul. Now, allow the Spirit of God to direct the full attention of your heart and place it upon the reality which your soul has come to in the person of Christ, that you may behold the risen Christ, that you may be brought up again, that the full attention of your heart may be redirected yet again, may be brought again and placed upon the risen Christ. John, at the baptism of Jesus, here you find the work of the Holy Spirit. I love this. Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And of course, it is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus comes to John. John finally agrees and says, okay. Jesus goes down, type of death, burial, buried by the waters, no more seen. And then when he comes forth out of the waters, he comes forth in testimony of the resurrection, who he is. And so then you have, like in if you read it in the Gospel of John, now you have this. You hear this, and it's said this way. I saw the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descending like a dove and remaining upon him. And if you think about it, first off, how did you know that the heavens were open? You didn't know that by looking below, by considering assessing the situation below. No, you knew that because somehow your heart was directed upward. Heavenward, above, look now towards the heavens, and the heavens are open, and reality is made known. How? By the Holy Spirit drawing the full attention of the heart and placing it upon one. And then from that moment onward, John the Baptist declares, "This is the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is what He does. This is what the Lord did in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. And He brought him forth abroad yet again. Once again, my paraphrase of Colossians chapter 3. Seeing then, since the Lord at the moment of new birth has brought your soul unto reality, now, allow the Spirit of God to draw and prepare the ground of your heart, that your heart would come in understanding, that your heart would come in knowledge from the understanding of man, from the knowledge of man, from the wisdom of man, unto the understanding, to the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God, who is Christ Himself. That the heart, the full attention of the heart, would be placed above, to behold Him who is present, to behold Him who is present. And this is our inheritance, beholding Him who is present. Another passage that I shared a long time ago, but it's found in like two different Gospels. It's concerning the house, basically salvation, and the purpose of the house. And Jesus actually said it in this way. He says, you know, and I may paraphrase this a bit, but this is basically what he's saying. The purpose of those who are in the house, who've been brought in, and the purpose of those coming into the house, who come into the house, is to see the light of the house. And the light of the house of God is Christ His Son. Nothing less. Nothing less. And as I stated way earlier, I used to have this understanding, this concept, that things are drawing my heart away from the Lord. No, that's a wrong concept. My heart is naturally looking unto something less. It takes a miracle of God, a very miracle of God, to draw the attention of my heart and place it upon the One who is present. Because I just don't know the One who's present. And I cannot know the One who's present except God the Father make His knowing known in my heart. And when He does this, same thing to say, when God reveals His Son who is present in my soul, therein is the, if I say it this way, you'll think something wrong. There is the knowing, the ongoing knowing of the salvation of my soul that is present. Because Christ is the salvation of my soul. And He does this again and again and again and again and again and again. It's like you can see Abram when he first came to the land. And the Lord appears. Abram literally could have said, "I know what it's all about now. This is it. It's about the appearing of the Lord in the land. It is beholding the One who is present in the land." I know he could very well have said, "I know what it's all about. It's not about getting out of Ur. It's not about fixing Haran, ignorance. You know, it's not about any of that. It is about beholding the One who is present in the land." And yet, even though he began serving purpose at that moment, because the Lord appeared, he is to continue serving that purpose for which his soul was created. He is to continue in the appearing of the Lord again and again and again and again and again and again. And not get caught up with anything less. Anything found in this natural temporal realm of time and sound. Time, natural sight, natural sound, natural feel and touch, and natural taste. You know? And it's not like, please do not misunderstand me, it is not like a new message or a new teaching or a new doctrine. No. It's nothing like that. Because that is not what Abram found in the land. When his heart, by God, by the work of God, finally comes to the land, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. What Abram finds is not a new message, is not a new teaching, is not a new doctrine, is not a new sermon, or is not a new concept. He finds a person. He finds the Lord Himself. We are just so caught up with everything less than the person. We'll even be caught up with the message about it. Right? Gosh, I can get so caught up in this. So caught up that I just stay caught up with something less and something less. And yet the Lord did not purpose our soul for something less than His Son. And His Son being revealed in our soul. His Son being made known in our soul. God is faithful to His Son. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him." The Holy Spirit is faithful to the Son. He is faithful. We saw it, the baptism of Jesus. And the testimony, I don't carry my regular Bible anymore because I found out that I just use this as my Bible. The testimony is faithful to declare the Son. In fact, that's what it is. It's a testimony. It declares Jesus. A light to bring us unto the true light. Everything of God is working, listen, for the good. And that good is found exclusively in the face of Jesus Christ. The evening and the morning were the first day. But God didn't stop right there. The evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day. Do you see? And even like in the Psalms, His mercies are new every morning. Well, what really is reality is that we are discovering His mercies anew every morning. Every morning, every time our heart has been drawn by the Spirit of God and placed upon the person of the risen Christ, we experience the mercy of God. Because God hath done what we could never do. What God requires, God only can do. What God desires, God only can do. And see, what happens in our heart is if we begin having any inkling of a desire, any inkling of an expectation to behold this one who is present, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, whom I believe to be filling my soul, but, you know, that's what I've heard, or that's what I've studied, that's what I've shared. If our heart has any inkling of a desire to behold this one, of an expectation for this one, very one to be revealed, it is because the Spirit of God has been preparing the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, for such an appearing of the Son, for such an appearing. And this is, as I stated earlier, this is the purpose for which our souls were created. God does not let up with Abram. The Lord brought Abram unto purpose. Now He brings Abram's heart to serve that very purpose unto which He brought him. Remember, when Christ is revealed in our soul, His inheritance is in the good that God purposed it for. I'll use another example. If you had, I know this is a crazy example, but if it were possible and you had a fence and you had two pieces of property you could visually see, and literally one piece of property was a literal desert, sand with nothing growing in it, and the other piece of property was very lush and fruitful and a lot of like fruit trees, and you were offered to choose, which would you choose? You would choose the fruit trees. This has life. Listen, this land has life ruling, reigning, and governing in it. The other land death is governing. Death is ruling and reigning. Do you see? It is good when Christ appears in our soul. It is good when God the Father makes known His Son, because the life that is present is made known to be present. And that's a good thing. It's always a good thing. This is the ongoing salvation of our soul, if you will. It's not that we're getting saved again and again and again. No, no, no. We are discovering the salvation that is present in our soul. But that is only by God making Him known. And that is only by the Spirit of the Lord directing our heart unto Him who is above, the resurrection. So that's really all I had. I guess I could go on and on, but I would only be declaring the same thing. The whole purpose for which our souls were created is the appearing of Christ and the ongoing appearing of Christ. First, He appears where He was not before, and then He appears as the light of the knowledge of the One who is present. Both are a miracle of God. We have not been, our souls were not created for anything less. Anything less. And I've heard it said, well, if you're too high-minded, you're of no earthly good. And if you're too earthly-minded, you're of no spiritual good. And you know, what all that is comparing man's knowledge of one thing with man's other knowledge of one thing. That has nothing to do with Christ. That has nothing to do with purpose. Because God doesn't reveal or make known a teaching or a message so we can get under our belt and believe it in the form of hope, having never seen the person, where we can believe in the form of faith, having seen. It all revolves around a person, and the Holy Spirit, God is jealous. He's a jealous God about this person. He will not allow us to settle for anything less. He's a jealous God, and I love it. I love it. I mean, at the moment when I was born again, I was not upset with God. No, I wasn't upset with God. God had been doing things, working, preparing the ground of my heart, preparing the ground of my soul for that very moment so I could be born again. And when Christ finally appeared in my soul, and at that moment I'm born again, I was not upset with God. I was quite very thankful. I was praising God. I was thanking Him because He had done what I could never have done. What I did not even know I needed. What I did not even know I truly wanted or even longed for. Because I was trying to find what I thought I longed for in everything else that is found below. Whether it be person, place, or thing, time, event. No. No. There was a desire in my heart placed of God, even as there is a desire in the heart of all mankind placed in the heart of God. Excuse me. I need some commas in there. There is a desire placed in all of our hearts. That desire is placed of God in our hearts. But that desire can only be fulfilled by His Son. Always. Always. With Abram, the Lord showed it again. Abram was childless at that time. So according to man's governing, the rule of the land was, well, if I don't have an heir of my own, then my chief servant will be the inheritor. That is the law of the land. And the Lord says, no. No, not man's laws, not man's concepts, not anything you can find below. Remember Genesis chapter 15, the Lord begins it with verse 1. I am thy shield. I am thy exceedingly great reward. I am the one who protects, who keeps unto myself. Unto your soul, unto your heart, unto your soul, finding all you ever desired to find, all you didn't even know you desired to find, in the person of my risen Son. And I love this, and I'm thankful unto the Lord, and I know by now I'm probably going over some time. But the Lord isn't, you know, He doesn't scold Abram. He brings His heart forth abroad. And when Abram beholds this risen Christ, then it's no longer about Eliezer. It's no longer about something in the natural. It's no longer about a natural inheritance. It's no longer about this. It's this one right here. It's all about this one. This risen Son, this risen Christ, who fills heaven and who fills earth. And the Lord does this again and again and again and again. And there you have the walk of faith. Abram walking in the appearing of the Lord and the beholding of the one who is present. And Abram serving purpose in his generation. So that's all I really had for this morning. That's all that's really on my heart. And I've found myself since I started this chapter, I think sometime last year, the prayer of my own heart has been, you know, for myself. It's been, Lord, don't let me get caught up with this. You know, bring my heart forth abroad as you did with Abram. Cause my heart to turn and behold the resurrection. Again, and again, and again, and again. Reveal your Son in me, Lord. Reveal your Son, not a new message, not a new doctrine, not a new teaching so I can share. No. Your Son, the person of your Son. Reveal your Son again, and again, and again, and again. Let it please you to reveal your Son in me. And do not leave me content with something less. Because you didn't create my soul for anything less. So, I'll let you all go for this morning. And if you have any questions or comments, you can email me. I don't know where you can find my email because it's not on the deal, but you can email whatever email we have there on the site. But that's just all for now. I hope the Lord blessed you in what was shared. And more specifically, I hope the Lord can take from what has been shared to continue to prepare our ground, the ground of our hearts, the ground of our souls for His purpose, for His end. Amen.